The reading is, it's Romans 7, verses 13 to 25. It's on page 1134. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. But in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced death in me through what was good, so that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is a sin living in me that does it. So, I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me, for in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you ever so much. Please do take a seat. And if you can find a Bible, page 1134, we're going to be thinking about that reading that Dave so helpfully read to us. But let's ask for God's help. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, thank you for your word, and we come to this one today asking for your help. We feel that we really need your help, not just to understand this, Lord, but also to live it in the day-to-day life that we have. And we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, I wonder, have you ever really tried to be healthy? I mean, really made a determined effort to live a healthy lifestyle. How did it go? Well, how is it going? Maybe you're doing it at the moment. Just think about how it might go in the area of food. You know in your mind that there are certain foods that are good for you. But there can be times, can't there, when the desire for junk food, it just feels overwhelming. Or think about exercise. You know in your mind that regular exercise of different kinds is really good for you. But how much easier it is on the weekend just to crash in front of the TV with a packet of crisps. If you try to be healthy, what do you find? A real battle. Your mind versus your body's desires. Well, when it comes to spiritual health, if you try and live God's way, keep his commands, live a good life, then you will also find a real battle. your mind against your sinful desires. So I wonder, is a battle inside what you expect if you're to be a disciple of Jesus? I mean, what do you expect it's going to be like following him? A few years ago, I was at a Christian conference when I bumped into an old university friend, let's call him Bob. And we got chatting about our Christian lives and how it was going and how we thought it should be going. And I admitted that I was really struggling, stopping doing some wrong things. And I felt like I was just about hanging on in my Christian life. And this touched something of a nerve with him because he sort of stood up and got into a bit of a, well, basically a rant. And he said something like this: Nick, stop being so defeatist. Stop thinking of your Christian life as if you're just sort of hanging on by your fingernails. He said, no, you need to pull yourself up, jump forward, and go and defeat sin. You're meant to lead a victorious life in Christ. And he prayed for me there and then to be delivered from those sins. Now, others are rather less optimistic than Bob. So Tom, he was a guy who did the Christianity Explored course with me. And after it was over, we met up for a drink and a chat, chatted about how the course went. And I asked him, you know, how did it go for you? And he admitted, he said, yeah, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe what he did. I believe he died to forgive my sins. And so I said to him, oh, great. Well, are you going to become a Christian then? And at this point, there was an awkward look on his face. And he said, well, the problem is, there's a whole bunch of things in my life that I don't think I'm going to be able to change. I can see that Jesus says he is to be Lord and I'm to turn from some wrong things and put him first. And I just can't see how I'm going to be able to do this. I don't see the power. And then he said, and actually, I'm not sure that I really want to stop certain things I enjoy. Well, I wonder, which of these two are you most like? They're both kind of at the extremes. Bob, convinced you can win decisive victories over sin and march forward victorious. Or Tom, convinced you can't change, not even sure you want to. Well, how can God help us? Well, let's have a brief first recap of the book of Romans. Paul started out by saying that the human race has a big problem. We have by nature rejected God and his loving rule. That's what sin is. And so everybody is facing his justice. And it's not going to be good news because Paul has been saying that we actually face his wrath. But there's a solution. The good news is that we will be saved if we turn from our sin and put our faith in Jesus. And it's a wonderful gift. We don't have to be good enough for God to be saved. And so now in the middle section of the book, we're looking at what the Christian life will be like. And we're seeing that even though we're saved by faith, not our good deeds, we're saved in order to put sin away and live a good and godly life. And if you remember, we saw a couple of weeks ago, remember how a great transfer has happened for Christians. We were born in the old humanity of Adam, but now we've been transferred to this new humanity under the rule of Christ. But we're not in heaven yet. And in this life, we live in this overlapping position where the old nature is still there, even though Christ's new nature by the Holy Spirit is now in charge. And in chapter 6, he said, didn't he, that we're no longer under the power of sin and God calls us to obey him. But there's a problem. And chapter 7 is going to deal with this problem that we faced. And it's an answer to the question, what should you expect if you try and obey God? Well, here's the first point. Expect a battle inside. In chapter 7, Paul talks a lot about God's law. That is the law that he gave through Moses. And up till now, he's been just a little bit negative about that law. And so he's been needing to defend it, which is what we saw last time, since it is God's good law. And verse 13 is a little bit of a summary of where we've been coming from. Did that which is good, the law, then become death to me? And he says, by no means. And he summarizes what happened to him before he was a Christian. But in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced death in me through what was good, the law, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. Now, I did a science degree, and I quite like equations. So here is an equation that I think sums up the first half of Romans 7. So Paul, before he was a Christian, God's law came to him, and the result was actually he couldn't obey it. It made it worse, didn't it? Because he wanted to disobey. So an increase in sin and condemnation. But now from verse 14, he's switching from the past to the present. And he's describing what his life is now like as a believer trying to obey God's law. So here's the second equation. God's law plus the Christian results in a battle inside and a cry for rescue. That's the second half, sums up the second half of Romans 7. So look at verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. Literally, sold under sin. God's law is spiritual because it comes from God. But in his nature, Paul is unspiritual and feels sold under sin. But hadn't he said in chapter 6 that we are no longer slaves to sin? Well, the answer is yes, but also, in a sense, no, not quite, because we still feel like slaves, because we live in that overlap between the two humanities. Now, before you say Paul is in danger of contradicting himself here, let's read on to get what he really means. Verse 15. And in the original, it actually starts with the word because he's explaining what he means. He says, because I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. Like a person striving to be healthy, he finds desires within that are against what his mind wants to do. Sin might have been dethroned, chapter 6, but he's no longer, and you can see that in chapter 7, that he's no longer a slave to sin in his mind, but sin is still there. If you like, waging a guerrilla warfare against his nature, his Christian nature within his heart. So the old sinful nature hasn't yet gone. And that's why he feels like he is sold under it. He wants to do good. He hates sin. He agrees with God's law, but sin in him prevents him from carrying it out. Such that he almost feels like it's no longer him that's doing it. And as this battle goes on, it leaves him confused. Just have a look down at verses 18 to 20. And you can see that, can't you? Essentially a bit of a repeat of what he's been saying, but it kind of gets more intense and maybe more confusing. And it certainly feels like that, doesn't it? This bit feels confusing, and I think that is deliberate because he is confused in this battle, which is why he says in verse 15, I don't understand what I do. It's a bit like when the prophet Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And he goes on to say, only the Lord. So, dear friends, expect a battle and expect confusion at times. And if you feel these, don't despair. It means you are a normal and a healthy Christian disciple. So verse 21 is a helpful summary of the situation. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. He's definitely a believer. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. So it's like there's two laws inside him. His mind, which wants to obey God's law, and another law, the law of sin, fighting against it. And where does it lead him? Verse 24, to a cry. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? God's law plus the Christian equals a battle inside and a cry for rescue. When a Christian seeks to obey God, he finds this battle. Now, it doesn't always rage with the same intensity. It comes and it goes. But it's not something we're ever going to entirely get away from in this life. In fact, the more godly you become, the more you know God's ways and love them, then the greater the gap between that knowledge and when you look inside and see yourself. So this is the cry of the saint. What a wretched man I am. And if you've never yet felt this yourself, at least in part, maybe you've not yet had an encounter with the living, holy God. But if you have, don't lose heart. If you know you are wretched, well, this is the second thing. Keep trusting in Jesus for future rescue. Verse 24, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The cry for rescue is not a cry of desperation. It's actually a cry of faith. He knows that Jesus has already rescued him from the law's condemnation, and he knows that Jesus will rescue him in the future. In fact, you can see that in verse 25 and the way it concludes. He concludes his situation by saying, so then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. And Romans 8, in a couple of weeks' time, we'll see that the future rescue will come when heaven comes. Here's a useful way of summing this up that I've heard in the past. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin. And we will be saved from the presence of sin. So Romans chapter 7, it was Paul's experience as a Christian, and it's ours as well. But we do need to read it alongside Romans 8. In Romans 8, we'll also see the battle within. We'll also see this split personality, and we'll also see that the rescue is future. But Romans 8 will add talking about the Holy Spirit. See, Romans 7 is only talking about our experience trying to obey God's law. Romans 8 shows that the Holy Spirit helps us in this. Not just helping us to actually battle, but also to make progress. Though we'll never get out of the Romans 7-like experience until glory. God's law plus the Christian equals a battle inside and a cry for rescue. Let me just try and illustrate the Christian life a bit like this. Being a Christian is a bit like getting married. When you get engaged and married, people say, congratulations, how wonderful for you. But a couple of years later, when you confide with a friend that being married is hard, they say, oh yes, it's always like that. But keep going, it's a good gift and the struggle is worth it. Or if you have a child, the news gets out and people say, how wonderful for you. But a year later, when you're exhausted with broken nights and smelly nappies, your kind older friend says, oh yes, it's always like that. It is a struggle, but it's a good gift. Battle on, it's worth it. Well, in the same way, being a Christian is a really good and wonderful thing. When someone gets baptized, we celebrate. Even more wonderful than these good gifts. But we have to expect that it will be hard. So I wonder, what would you say to my two friends from the beginning? To those who are inclined to be like Bob the optimist? Well, he's very well intentioned. And we should commend his zeal. We may need some of it ourselves. But to think like he does means he faces a danger. If your expectations are for leaping progress and effortless victory, you could be in for a shock. Think of another friend of mine, Livia, who went to Christian festivals as a teen and was very enthusiastic about God. But she was given unrealistic expectations that it was always going to be wonderful and feel wonderful. And when the difficulty and the reality of being a Christian as an adult set in, she became disillusioned. And as far as I know, is not going forward with Christ at the moment. Or I think of the... I'll come to that one. There's a danger, you see, of having too high an expectation of progress in this life. So if we're like Bob, we need to realize there will be a battle. I think of the great Christian writer, Jim Packer, who says that the teaching of Romans 7 saved his life. As a young Christian, he felt such feelings of despair and failure. He thought there was something wrong with him. And then the teaching of Romans 7 helped him realize that he was normal and helped him to keep going. But what about Tom? What would you say to people like him? Well, it's true that by himself, he's not going to be able to change and to stop sin. But if he follows Jesus, he won't be by himself. If you're feeling like this, you need to realize that you can and you must cry out to him for rescue. If you don't, you might miss out on salvation and remain in the grip and the power of sin. But if you do cry out to Jesus, then you need to join in the battle. And Romans 8, which is brilliant that we're coming to it, will help us realize that we can make progress through the work of the Holy Spirit, even in the battle, and know great joy. Well, what about you, as we finish? What do you need to take away from Romans 7? Do you need a dose of realism, like Bob does? Being a Christian may get really hard at some points. Or do you need some reassurance, because the battle is hard? Well, be reassured. If you're experiencing what Paul experienced in Romans 7, you are a normal, healthy Christian. Keep crying out and trusting Jesus. He will deliver you. Or do you need a wake-up to the reality that God is calling you to battle against your sin? Maybe things for you are easy because you're just leaving sin alone. Other things in your life that, if you're honest, are displeasing to God, and you need to fight against, if you're going to become more like Jesus, going to please him and be more fit for heaven. God says, when you try and obey me, expect a battle inside. But don't give up. Keep trusting Jesus for future rescue. Let's pray.